This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, so I'm looking at this right now. It looks like Fan Bowl is February 4th, and they're going to be at Revolver Brewing at Texas Live. So that's going to be going on February 4th. A couple of days later, Mike, we will be heading out to Radio Row for the Super Bowl this year. It's been quite a minute since I've been there. I think Kevin and I, the only one we've been to so far, has been Houston. I'm thinking, as I was looking around here, Broadus hasn't been to one as a host. Chiafalo and Woolchuck haven't been to one as a host. Kevin and I have only been to one total. And so Mike's our veteran here. Him and Dawson are going to be the veterans that are going to be showing us around. And then the morning show, obviously, I don't think Bobby's been there. Maybe he's been there with Jane as her producer. But other than that, it's just you and Sean and RJ and Dawson. They're going to show us the ropes here.
Larry Fitzgerald was my roommate in Phoenix for that Super Bowl. It was awesome.
This is some breaking news on 105.3 The Fan, presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Sorry, Mike, to interrupt you on this.
All right, go ahead.
Kellen Moore will not be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, as Joey has just informed me that Frank Reich has been hired as the Carolina Panthers head coach. So that is one spot where if you were like, we got to get rid of Kellen Moore, that job is now taken. And that was a job, Mike, where he spent some extra time there kind of checking things out. So this is interesting that Frank Reich is now taking on.
So that's his second head coaching job, just Indy and now here?
Yeah, he was with the Eagles for sure as their offensive coordinator.
Was he offensive coordinator? Or I think it was maybe quarterbacks coach.
I'll go look.
I'll
go look here in the C block as we're checking this out.
All right.
What's that?
So, no, I had Jesse Hawley was my roommate in Phoenix.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Multiple times, people thought he was Larry Fitzgerald that were visiting Arizona
because
had the dreads and it was just like.
He's a tall man.
So a couple times, he's like, yeah, I am Larry Fitzgerald. Fine.
Here, let me sign your autograph for you. Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles. He was the offensive coordinator for the Chargers, and he was also once the quarterbacks coach for the Chargers as well in 2013. Maybe that's a little bit of a connection there with Rivers, and that kind of leads you there.
I get it. So now all quarterbacks who are washed up and have no chance of being a good quarterback again are going, there's a job available, Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I guess so.
Carson Wentz. I know I'm not in order here. Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan. I mean, Frank Reich deserved to get fired from Indy. I don't know why Carolina is going down that route.
I don't know either. It was kind of fascinating watching him collect quarterbacks that he'd worked with before. And it is very interesting. Like, Sam Darnold did come on stronger, I guess, late in the season. I still think he's a bad quarterback. I don't know how they feel about their rookie, the option there. And I don't know exactly what they're going to do.
Is it Pickett or Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
Why am I drawing a blank on that draft? I thought it was such a bad quarterback draft.
Matt Corral.
Yeah, thank you. I barely paid attention to where the quarterbacks went, and now we have Brock Purdy.
But this, I think, and this just makes 3 o'clock even that much more interesting now when G Bag hops on and Mike McCarthy gets up to the podium, because will it continue to be the Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott show, and what more can they do from there, especially now that that job has been taken? More questions, you know, being brought up about where Dan Quinn's going to go. Is he going to take the Cardinals job? There are some suggestions that that's the one that he's going to go take. So we're going to keep our eyes and ears out as things go along, but I think that's very significant that that is no longer an option for Kellen Moore and how the Cowboys will approach that. And I also want to know, too, from Mike, from your perspective on that.
Yeah.
When, if it, may, we've heard that the Cowboys want you more when they know somebody else wants you. And I wonder, this is, you know, last year, Dan Quinn, it was Jerry Jones came on our show and basically said, yeah, I made sure that Dan Quinn didn't leave. And yeah. I wonder if the reason that Kellen Moore or that Frank Reich is the head coach now at Carolina is because the Cowboys said, Kellen, you're not going anywhere.
Well, here's the deal. I think that Kellen Moore is a pretty good offensive coordinator, and I think I'm in the minority here that say that. But I want to see how limited Dak Prescott is. I think Kellen Moore is working with a limited quarterback, a good quarterback. Dak is a good quarterback. I don't want anybody to get that wrong, but he's a limited quarterback. He is not what you'd consider a premium quarterback in this league. He cannot, I'll say it's like Doug Peterson. He isn't limited in Jacksonville. I know it sounds like Russell Wilson. He's an unlimited quarterback. Herbert's unlimited in what he can do. There are limitations on Dak Prescott's arm and his ability to read defenses and stuff like that. So I wanted to see in this upcoming season, is it Kellen Moore? Which I think a lot of Cowboy fans think it's Kellen Moore holding us back. Or do you get a new somewhat offense and we find out it's not the offensive coordinator? Dak is only the 8th or 10th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL. And you can't win with that guy. And when I say you can't win the Super Bowl with that guy unless you say we're trading all our first round picks.
Yeah.
We are going to overload the cap for 3 years. And that means we are going to take $50 to $100 million dead cap hits coming up where we know we're going to be really bad at football. We're going to do the New Orleans Saints thing with Drew Brees. We are going to do the LA Rams thing with Matthew Stafford. But we're going to take that risk because we know that Dak Prescott is not good enough to carry a team that worries about the cap.
Man, all significant points that I think that bring in that conversation of whether it's the quarterback or whether it's the offensive coordinator. And yeah, that's Mike, that's the only reason I'm like, I don't think that he's a poor offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. I think that there is still stuff for him to learn and maybe another voice can help him learn those things. And that's on Dak and Kellen. I think both of them have more to learn, and I don't know that they can learn it all together.
And I'd like to say this. I know when I don't know, for the most part. I do not know offensive coordinating, okay? I don't know if most people listening know offensive coordinating. We all have opinions on it. I have an opinion on it. You have an opinion on it. We can all have opinions on it. But my opinion on this one, and it's not fair, but if Dak just reads the defense right and Dak throws the touchdown to T.Y. Hilton instead of throws an incomplete pass to CeeDee Lamb, is that a good play or is that a bad play?
Yeah.
Is that like, I don't know, like in that situation, and I can understand because you are smarter, I think, than I am in certain offensive situations where you're like, no, Kellen Moore watching the All 22.
Yeah.
Ran an offensive play that had very little success of happening.
Yes.
And so that's on Kellen Moore. But then when Kellen Moore runs a successful play and Dak Prescott reads the defense wrong, Kellen Moore doesn't get credit for a good offensive play because Dak Prescott screwed it up so bad that now that good offensive play goes off the board because it was a negative or non-play. It wasn't a positive play for the Cowboys because Dak isn't good enough to take advantage of the play that Kellen Moore called.
I think a lot of those things is when Dak has to scramble and make a play with his feet and then does make it, you can definitely credit those to Dak. And there are other situations where if you got the perfect call, there are a lot of nuances that I want to know whether or not Kellen understands certain things. That's just kind of where I am with that, waiting on seeing what the Cowboys' move is going to be. And again, at 3 o'clock, it's interesting. Dan Quinn's going to take over McCarthy's job at 3. You heard it here first from Big Lou, the Tolo. I love all those like things because it's fun. It's wild. You let it go just a little bit and see where it goes. I did see somebody earlier say, hey, look, let's give Dak a break here. This dude has a plate in his thumb and all these things. And I was like, man, you can't say, look at all the great offensive things he's doing while healed, and then say, give him a break in the playoff game just because of the plate in his thumb, because he did some really good things. You can't have that both ways. Either he suffered this season because of the thumb, or he was, you know, amazing despite of it. So there are those two things happening there. Plus, Jerry told us he was going to be good in 2 weeks, so everything should have been fine the whole time, right? By the way,
I don't know who that person is. That guy's trolling.
By the way, Frank Reich.
There's no way. If you don't know sports, I guess. Great take, brother.
It was a woman, I think.
Great take, woman.
Frank Reich.
Sister.
Threw his first touchdown pass in team history for the Carolina Panthers in 1995. So I didn't even know that he was the quarterback for them when they opened that. So
I know. Kerry Collins was the next year.
Yeah. And he beat us. Now he's going back home, obviously, where he will be.
Eric Bjornsson was our tight end, effing everything up when you go rewatch that game. If you think Michael Gallup was bad at his job, go watch Eric Bjornsson play tight end in 1996.
Before we move on, I wanted to ask the question about DeMarcus Lawrence and how much more you think you can squeeze out of his career. What's left in his career? This is a guy who is now, what, he's 30 years old at defensive end. And he... You can say he's had an even better career than you ever suspected he would. When I was watching film on him early out of college, I remember texting Broadus and kind of, hey, what are you thinking about this guy? Because I like a lot of these qualities about him. And he's done all those things that I kind of expected him to do. Injuries have like been part of his career. That's been something that you've just kind of been plagued with a little bit. But he got his big contract, and he hasn't hit the 10 sack marker since. I think I've been very part of the small minority of people who are arguing he does all these other things very well, though. And there's this other massive group that's like, that's not enough, though. That's not what he's being paid for. And I'm like, I get it. But here you are at the later part of his career, and I just don't know how much more we can squeeze out of him and get what was this year, I thought, a very quiet, good, successful season for DeMarcus Lawrence.
I think the reason that we're seeing a better DeMarcus Lawrence, in my opinion, is because they drafted a guy named Micah Parsons 2 years ago, and it took pressure off of him because somebody else became the focal point of the defense. He's not good enough to be a focal point of a defense and then also be really successful. It didn't mean he was a failure for a couple years. It just meant he was very limited because the offensive line and quarterback concentrated on number 90.
Yep.
And so he was very limited because he's not Nick Bosa. He's not Micah Parsons. He's not Joey Bosa. He's not TJ Watt. He's not in that category. Those guys are borderline future Hall of Famers with a lot more to prove, but they're kind of guys that you say, hey, I think they might become Hall of Famers if they stay healthy throughout their career. DeMarcus Lawrence won't even be considered for a Hall of Fame career.
He's probably not.
He's never going to make like the top 15 list ever, not even be considered for it. But it doesn't mean he's a bad player. He's a good player. He just needs to be your second best defensive lineman.
Yeah.
And when he's that, he's very successful.
He's got the team loves him. The players love him. He's smart, too. He's a smart player.
Yeah.
You go back and listen to all those the sounds from the sidelines. Every week you'll hear him walk up to one of the players on defense and say, hey, this is about to happen. Here's how we're going to make this play happen. And then they show the play of it actually happening. And that's because he knows how to play this game very well. I 1,000% agree with you. And I know I can't go 1,000%, but I'll just say 100 then. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
I 100% agree with what you're saying in that whenever it was just his show, he didn't have Jaron Kearse behind him. He didn't have Leighton. Look how much they needed Leighton Vander Esch this year to be a good defense, because defense is really a team part of everything there for sure. He didn't have those cornerbacks that were really good. He had him and some guys. And now, like you said, you have Micah Parsons, who is a generational talent, and that allows DeMarcus Lawrence to excel at what he's good at. Again, I don't think he's going to go underappreciated, because people are always going to hold the number as the, well, he never lived up to this. But I think a lot of people are going to go, man, I secretly say he's my favorite player, because he is one of those guys that you're like, man, he just did it again. He makes those plays that you didn't know were necessary for wins. And the only way that I think that he's going to get, very similar to Dak, the only way he's going to get the credit that he deserves for what he did is for the Cowboys to win a championship. That's the only way that any of these guys will get that credit that all these people that are fighting, hey, look, they're still good at this. They got to win a championship to kind of put their stamp on everything. Otherwise, they don't have it. Coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, we'll keep our eyes on what's going on with the Cowboys and all this coaching carousel. Who's getting what awards for the postseason next on The Fan?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, the finalists have been announced for MVP in the NFL and some other awards. And I wanted to kind of throw some of those out at you, Mike, because there are some CBS Sports released their picks for that. And I wanted to see if we agree on some of these as well. But before we get to that, and we get to crosstalk with the G-Bag Nation come up here in just a few moments, I want to remind everybody about what's going on tonight here at the station. We're going to be hosting the Rangers Hot Stove Show 7 to 8 p.m. in our performance showroom. That's 4131 North Central Expressway, first floor. Walk in. If TJ's there, say hi to TJ. Super nice guy. He's great. He will talk with you. He loves talking with people that walk in. He wants to know what's going on. He's our security guard. And then they'll show you into the showroom. Guess what? Jared Sandler and the Get Right are going to be down there. And then on top of that, Taylor Hearn's going to be there with Brock Burke. So have some fun with that tonight, too. Mike, somebody asked and texted in, because you can get your picture. This is free, by the way.
Right.
This is a free
Everything's
thing.
Free parking, free entrance, free pictures, free autograph. If they want to give it, it's up to the players. But
somebody did ask if it's okay to ask for autographs. And I said, I believe so. Do you think that's an okay thing?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so like this.
I don't know Brock Burke well at all. I do know Taylor Hearn. Taylor Hearn will sign whatever you bring. I should say not whatever,
yeah.
But baseball card. You know, reason. Yes, Taylor Hearn is a great guy. Brock Burke is probably a great guy too. I just don't know Brock Burke. And Jared Sandler will sign things if you want him to sign things too.
You really think so?
Yeah, I think
Jared
so.
Will.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'd get mad if you don't get back on defense.
Is that something that
I've
worked with Jared now, what is it, about 8 years? And it's been he's a really fun person to work with. I'm excited for like what his future holds later on down the road, because that dude has been working his butt off to make sure that he's doing the right things to be whatever he wants to do in the baseball world, man. He could definitely do it. So come check it out tonight right here at our building and enjoy. And we will talk with G-Bag about what's going on with the Cowboys coaching. As we did get the email earlier today, they let go of a number of coaches. And now one of the jobs Kellen Moore was vying for is taken over by Frank Reich. So what's going to be going on there? We'll talk with the G-Bag Nation. Broadus might have some insight there as well. Mike, the NFL honors finalist list, MVP, we'll get to in a moment because I think we all kind of have an idea there.
Tom Brady.
What do you mean Tom Brady?
Oh.
What did Tom...
He took this team from nowhere and got him to the playoffs.
That's the way I'd pitch that. I would totally be like, dude, did you see the trash that he was surrounded by the whole time?
No, that's Luka.
Luka. Luka and Tom Brady, same person. Assistant coach of the year.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. This is wild.
I
got three options for you. Who do you pick? Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen.
Oh, crap.
That's
a good one.
49ers defensive coordinator D'Amico Ryans, yeah. I was always a fan of.
As a player?
Yeah.
Okay.
That dude was fun
to watch.
No, I know,
but I didn't know you're always a fan of him as a coordinator?
No, I found out he was the coordinator this year, actually. I was like, oh, crap, he's doing really good.
Good looking guy, too.
Man, my wife said the same thing. She was like, wow, who's that? And I was like, every time she says who's that, I'm like, what are you really asking right now? Do I walk in while you're watching MILF Manor and go, oh, who's that, mom? No, I never do that. But she'll immediately be like, who's that? Oh, it's Matt LaFleur. Of course, yeah. He's a good looking
man. I don't know what to say
man.
To that. When I'm doing Peloton yoga, because I'm stretching pretty much every day, I've missed 3 days so far in the month of January where I didn't stretch. But sometimes I'll be doing yoga. And guess what? The yoga instructors on the Peloton app are all good looking women. And she's like, oh, she's good looking. What do you think? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm doing yoga.
I'm really working here.
I have an answer to that. I don't want to answer that question.
That's why I felt very uncomfortable watching MILF Manor at the gym on the treadmill. I was like, what if somebody walks up and is like, what is happening here?
You like plastic faces with plastic boobs?
The last one, Mike, is Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't. He got stripped of the Olympic gold in 88.
No, that's no.
But I guess he's bounced back from that.
Who are you talking about there?
Ben Johnson from Canada.
Oh, okay.
Versus Carl Lewis in the 88 Olympics.
I did not remember that.
Yeah, he won gold. It was like a major upset, and his eyes were all yellowed out and everything, and he beat him. And like, oh, my God, Carl Lewis isn't the fastest man in the world anymore, and the United States losing Canada as the fastest man. And then the next day they're like, yep, and he is high on steroids.
Oh,
real, I don't know if you're high on
different
roids,
Ben Johnson. This is a very different person. Okay. He took what was believed to be, you know, the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the NFL. They turned out to be a pretty good offense this season.
I hope G-Bag isn't listening right now. And I want to ask, doesn't look like they're listening.
Zach gave me a no, we're not listening.
Well, then that would mean they know
they're
listening.
Follow just stuck his tongue out.
Oh, they're listening
at us. So
I wonder when they come in during crosstalk, if we say Ben Johnson, if just like you're like, I don't know who Ben Johnson was. Ben Johnson was, that was a huge story.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if I say Ben Johnson, Olympic sprinter, if they're like, I have no clue who you're talking about. You know who Carl Lewis was?
Remember Carl Lewis. Okay. Yes. I remember watching him in all sorts of different things. I just, for some reason, that story, 88, I was 7 years old.
Okay.
So I was kind of invested, but I maybe didn't know enough at the time.
All right.
Who do you think is going to win assistant coach of the year out of those options? Eagles offensive coordinator or D'Amico Ryans or Ben Johnson?
I will lean towards Eagles offensive coordinator because I don't think anybody expected Jalen Hurts to be this good for Philadelphia's offense to be this good. Now, they did get a major upgrade in A.J. Brown, but he had to work with a quarterback that looked very limited to start the year and figured out how to pass the ball this year really consistently for the first time in his career.
Yeah, they chose D'Amico Ryans, and they had lots of options for why he should get it. Coach of the year, here are your options. Sean McDermott, who had a really good season with the Bills. It's Nick Sirianni, who nobody likes except for Choppy. Kyle Shanahan, Brian Daboll, otherwise known as Dabes around here, or Doug Peterson, Mike's head coach.
As much as I want it to be Peterson, I would vote for Kyle Shanahan because he dealt with three quarterbacks. The number three overall quarterback that he wanted to be the guy got hurt immediately. Then he went back to Jimmy Garoppolo and was able to be somewhat successful with him, but not super successful. And then he went to the last pick in the draft and hasn't lost since. So I know you can't count playoffs in these voting, but still, to finish with the second best record in the NFC with your third string quarterback, to me that wins.
Yeah, I know
that Doug Peterson did take the worst team and made the playoffs.
And Dave's, like, he took a team that everybody expected to be a 4-6 win team, and they had a better year than that. Sirianni's interesting because I think that he's just so hateable. Like, everybody, I think everybody kind of feels the same way about this guy. But he's telling his team the right things. What was the note that he told his team? I want you guys to act like they're in your way. Going this weekend Sirianni. Against San Francisco. They're gum on your shoe. Yeah. Is kind of the mindset that, and that's the right thing here's to tell thing. Your team.
He is like, Jalen, keep fighting through it. I fought through jaundice my whole life.
Yes, I don't know that he has jaundice. His skin has a yellow tint to it. Have you asked Sue? Have you said, hey, look at this guy?
She's never watched a Philadelphia Eagles football game in
Take
her life.
A look at this guy real quick and tell me if he has jaundice or not. I want to know from Sue. I'll trust her.
Right. And he looks sleep deprived.
That's true.
Sleep deprivation and jaundice. And look, he's almost coach of the year with all of those things. How can you not ask your players to give a little bit more?
Well, and also, like, if all those things are true that Mike just said, do you think you've done enough today out there?
I know jaundice, you have to give the child more sunlight. You have to put them, you know, either in the sun or, you know, shine lights on them. But I don't know what jaundice does to your body. Like, what's the deficiencies of jaundice? I know it has to do something with blood.
Is it your liver?
White blood cells, red blood cells.
Skin.
But does it make you feel? I don't know. And babies, they're babies.
Bilirubin. High level of bilirubin. Yellow-orange bile pigment.
But what does it make you feel as an adult?
Bile is fluid secreted by the liver. Bilirubin is formed from the breakdown of blood cells. I don't know. I don't even know if you feel bad.
Okay.
I'm looking.
I'm just wondering what Sirianni feels like every day.
Liver disease. There could be a sign of liver disease. So your whole body
so
probably.
Our Tuolos are saying that Sirianni might be an alcoholic.
Oh, that could be a possibility.
Because of the liver situation and all
I'm not gonna go out there and say that, Mike. I will let the Tuolos say that.
Yeah, that's what they said. I don't know. I'm just saying he has jaundice-looking skin, and so he would be diagnosed with jaundice off of my television.
Maybe you're okay. All right. Comeback player of the year. I still believe that Brian Robinson deserves it from Washington. The man was shot, Mike, but they will not allow it because it was his rookie season. T.Y. Hilton, not on this list. He did come back this year.
Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith did come back this year. Not on the list. Do you want me to give you some options here?
Give me who?
Saquon Barkley.
Good candidate.
Christian McCaffrey.
Solid candidate.
Or Geno Smith.
I will go with Geno Smith. He deserves something this year.
He's going to get a contract, isn't he? Like, for being, you think they'll tag him? Or do you think they'll long-term that sucker? God.
They do have a high pick. Because they have Denver's pick.
Yeah, they do.
I think they might franchise tag him. You kind of have to do that before the draft. And then let's just say they take Will Levis of Kentucky. I don't know what they think of him. We'll find out as we get closer to April. But if you gave him a one-year deal and you know he's his starting quarterback next year, and then you kind of had Levis just waiting there for a year to kind of learn more of what it would be to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, that would make more sense than – I think if you lock up Geno Smith for 3 or 4 years, you're never going anywhere more than hoping to make the playoffs. And I can't do that. If I'm a general manager, I can't do that. I cannot go, well, best case scenario, if Geno Smith plays great, what happens? We make the playoffs and lose in the first or second round. That's my best case scenario signing this guy. I can't sign him.
Mike, I'm still confused about this. I don't know that Geno Smith had an injury last year. I think he just didn't play.
Yeah.
And that's why they're giving him this opportunity. I think, like, even Travis Etienne has
more of a... He came back from
a...
His career looked over. I think you're coming back from a career looked completely and totally over, and he came back from, oh, I thought you were done.
Travis Etienne, by the way, was one of the snubs on the list. Dude totaled more than 1,400 yards this season as in both receiving and rushing. So okay. McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley come back from real injuries. Geno Smith comes back from nobody believing in him. So we'll put it at that. Defensive rookie of the year, Aiden Hutchinson, Sauce Gardner, easy. Or Tariq Woodland. What's that?
Gardner.
You're going to say Gardner as
well?
He was
all pro. Wasn't he first team all pro?
He was really good this year too. And he had the swag. Everybody knew it. I think Bobby Belt was like, if you have the chance, you draft this guy. Originally, very early on.
Who's our Tolo that texted in all the time that the Cowboys will win because of their swag?
I don't know his name. I just know that he texts in. So he needs to put his name on it for me next time.
Yeah, we ran out of swag.
Offensive rookie of the year, Garrett Wilson from the Jets wide receiver.
Yeah, he's good.
Kenneth Walker, the running back from the Seahawks, good. Or Brock Purdy, the quarterback and still undefeated.
I thought you were
going to
say Chris Olave at some point.
I think that he would be kind of considered in that snub conversation. Him. I think there's Christian Watson also with
Can you give a
Packers.
Guy who only played 6 regular season games? I don't think I can.
He didn't win a single one.
I understand.
I think that it's going to be Garrett Wilson. I think that he would probably get it out of all those guys. Defensive player of the year. Chris Jones, Nick Bosa, or Micah Parsons.
I want it to be Micah, but I think in the end they're going to give it to Bosa. But as long as Micah Parsons keeps staying healthy, he's going to rack up 2 or 3 of these.
Yeah, he's going to get his time, especially if the Cowboys can continue to keep a defense together like this and keep good defensive coaching around him.
But as Micah says, if we keep Dak, you're in trouble.
They have Jalen Hurts as the offense. He never said that, Mike.
Sarcasm.
He didn't say that. He just kind of almost hinted at it. All right. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
Offensive player of the year, I think I'm going to give it to Hurts, even though I think Jefferson deserves it. And then for MVP, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes, number 2.
Even though we will see when it comes to offensive player of the year if Hurts gets it over Jefferson.
Listen,
but I think that Hurts would have been 2nd in MVP.
Start
voting.
This playoffs off. I bought an $850 Patrick Mahomes rookie card. I really would like for him to not only win this MVP, but win on Sunday.
Well, you know what? Let's ask G-Bag if they think that will happen next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, it is time for our D&M Leasing Crosstalk, brought to you by D&M Leasing, actually. Yeah. So we got G-Bag Nation joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen, how is you?
Terrific. Majors, you?
I want to start off this crosstalk, which I
found... Mike Bassick's crosstalk, ladies and
gentlemen. Very interesting. I just want to start this off. Our last segment, Corey mentioned a coach named Ben Johnson.
He's the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
And so I said, well, that's a great comeback from 88 Seoul, where he won the gold medal, but it was stripped of him. And Corey looked at me and goes, who are you talking about? And I thought, everybody knows who Ben Johnson is. That was the story of 1988. There was no bigger sports story of 1988 than Ben Johnson. So I wanted to know from our younger broadcasters here, Eric and Zach, I want to know, do you have any clue who Ben Johnson of 1988 was?
Wasn't born. No idea.
Yeah, I wasn't either. So
right now, but you still...
Ben Johnson, no. When if you say the word Ben, I think of immediately Franklin. That's the first word that comes to mind. That's synonymous for me. Getting to Johnson would take a long time.
I will
time.
Let Broadus and Gavin Dawson take over the Ben Johnson story of 1988.
Well, in 1988, what you guys should know is
Carl Lewis had a tremendous sports celebrity established.
I know who Carl Lewis is.
It's like it's right up there with Bo Jackson. It's right up there with freaking Mike Tyson. Carl Lewis is an icon, right? And he'd never lost, you know, one of these sprinting deals. And, of course, we're coming off the 84 Olympics. We're going into 88. This was just like a tour de force of Carl Lewis, the greatest sprinter in the world. Well, Ben Johnson beats him. And the world is stunned, right? And this Sports Illustrated picture is out where he's in his tank top and this gold chain. And he's just like, he's diesel sprinter. We're like, well, dang, the American just got dusted. Boy, you know, this is the real deal right there. And he's from just up north, Ben Johnson. Well, before too long, word comes out that his urine was dirty.
Oh, he was doping.
And he beat that he beat Carl Lewis due to performance enhancing drugs. Further contributing to the legend is all these pictures of him with yellow eyes, which apparently happens if you do roids too much. It'll like turn the whites of your eyes yellow. So he's all roided up, beats Carl Lewis, but it's so memorable because the shock and the trauma of watching Carl Lewis left this indelible mark. So he's a freaking legend, you know, in sports history as a result.
Wow. Okay.
It would be like Buster Douglas. It'd be like Bolt losing in his prime. You'd be like, there's no way anybody's going to beat Bolt in his prime.
Or Phelps in swimming.
Somebody did. Yeah. And you're just like.
So how many years later, like how long did it take for them to find? Or is it like, is it months?
Yeah,
it
was pretty quick.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Very
that
good.
Guy.
Very good.
So right?
They immediately just give it back
to
Carl
Lewis. Dude was juicing. Look at his body.
he was number one.
There's no way.
Dude, are you seeing this guy right now, Walchuk?
Yeah, he's yoked up like Rambo.
Did you Google shirtless Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I did.
Because Corey did. And my gosh, the back on that guy. He has thighs for arms.
He does. I didn't think the Canadians had it in him.
Holy smokes, dude.
Look at that. They all did. That's Heat. Their whole team.
He's a walking advertisement for steroids.
We had their coach from Canada come down to LSU, was our women's coach, and they were 3-time national champs with their women's coach. The from
women's
Canada.
Swim team?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Track.
All these
track.
Disqualifications. Yeah. Disqualified. Yeah. Disqualified.
Even
despite
the fact that this dude was juicing, they were like, let's bring that coach.
We were all about winning then.
Okay.
We were all about winning then. He did a great job of, Lawrence Seagrave was his name.
By any means necessary.
And then he later,
still the same way.
He later got ousted for the Canadian. Matter of fact, we had a floor hockey team there in Baton Rouge. We were the Labatt's Oilers. One of our guys got a sponsorship from Labatt's Beer. So cool. We were one of the few like rec teams. Like it was our athletic dorm. So we had Lawrence Seagrave, who was the coach I'm talking about. He was our goalie. He was from Canada. So we had like a legitimate goalie. We had Labatt's Beer Company from Canada was our sponsor. They sent us jerseys and everything. We're playing against other fraternities and stuff like that in the floor hockey. Like intramural.
Oh, floor hockey. Okay.
Intramural floor. So
hell yeah.
We all had real sticks. Like nice. Everybody else played with plastic ones. We went and got real sticks. We had a tennis player that was from Canada. He was our center.
He was your ringer.
So we were building a dynasty.
You were a scout from the
floor
gym,
hockey.
Bro.
The Labatt's Oilers were like, we were named after the Edmonton Oilers at the time because of Wayne Gretzky and Yari Curry and those guys. So yeah, we had legit, but yeah, this coach who got popped for steroids was working with Ben Johnson and all those guys. He was down there with us in Baton Rouge.
It's a shame you guys could not have experienced the Olympic mania of the 80s because the Miracle on Ice, the Mary Lou Retton Perfect 10, and there wasn't ESPN and sports TV. So when the Olympics came around, it was like sports paradise for 3 or 4 weeks. And I think it ended in like 92.
It was such a political thing, too, because of what, you know, like countries were not going to other countries' Olympics.
Sure.
Like you... In 80, you don't go to Russia. 84, they don't come to the United States. It was all kinds of like things going on then.
And it also kind of had that feeling. I know like y'all bring up Ben Johnson. I'm like trying to revisit my mind. I was 7, but there was this feeling.
You'll never
of
forget those biceps.
My country versus your country kind of thing. And our country, like we were really good at stuff. But we were kind of...
Oh, the Russians were the heyday.
We're a
still
bit
damn good at stuff,
there.
Corey.
Yeah. But it was the time where I don't know if we were... really that great before me. Am I wrong about this? Before the 80s, were we dominating the Olympics in like the 70s too?
Oh, well, there were certain sports that like in like the 72 with Mark Spitz, like swimming.
Yeah.
There were certain, the summer sports we were really, really good at. The winter ones, not so much.
Had to play
it
catch
just doesn't
up.
Feel the same though anymore. Like you talk about Carl Lewis, there's also Flo Jo right around then. Like you're just like, there were, you just... FloJo was awesome. They were there with Jordan. Like when you said Michael Jordan, same conversation was
okay,
FloJo
Mike,
and
you need
Carl
to explain. Do you know who FloJo is, Eric?
She was a sprinter.
Okay.
Florence Joyner Griffin.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you were looking.
Don't do too much on.
Okay. Yeah, you're looking at Mike.
No,
you're
more follow ups. No,
I can see the smoke coming out your ears.
I just remember her fingernails. Yeah. Like that's what stands out the most to me.
She'd have the nails. Yeah. There was this aura around Olympics back then. That now it's like, yeah, the Olympics are here, and yeah, they're gonna run and everything. And I'm like, I don't know, who are the people doing this now? And back then, you knew all the Americans.
Well, they put them on your cereal box when they won.
Yeah.
You go all the way back to like with Bruce Jenner in 76, you know, with the Montreal games and stuff like that. These people, they were amateur athletes, but, you know, really they were just famous. These famous, great athletes is really what they were.
Today's been a wild day, and it's all leading up to y'all's show at 3 o'clock when Mike McCarthy steps up to the podium. And we've been trying to read the tea leaves the entire day, trying to figure out what it all means. And I guess the Kellen Moore news now changes and shifts a lot of our focus. So what do you think? Like, I guess my question to Mike this morning to start off was, who's making these decisions? Is this a Mike McCarthy thing, or is this a Stephen, Jerry, that collective? Who do y'all think has made these decisions to move on from some of these contract coaches?
Kind of feel like, though, that now that the Carolina Panthers have hired their coach in Frank Reich, that you're not going to let go of Kellen Moore. You weren't going to let go of Kellen Moore as long as he was interviewing for the job. And now that they've made it that Carolina's got their guy, then you're in a situation now that you can move on from Kellen Moore if you want. You don't want to fire a guy while he's interviewing for another job. So let's see if that domino falls. I think that there's some things with this staff. I think there's some people on the staff. Rob Davis, I'm just going to give you an example. This, you know, Jerry Jones is like, okay, what does this guy do?
Yeah.
What does that guy do? Jerry's always talking about the size of the staff and what do these guys do. I think there's several of these coaches that once these contracts ran out, that Jerry said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. I think that Mike has control of his staff. I'm sure in our show we're going to get into it. I think there's several coaches you need to kind of keep an eye on outside of what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys that might end up being here.
This is fascinating, though, Majors, because if Dan Quinn made the decision to let George Edwards go, then that means he's staying, right? Mm. He's changing his staff. He knows you wouldn't fire somebody on your way out the door. That's a jerk move. If it's Mike McCarthy, he's not going to take liberties with Dan Quinn's staff, so he would know Dan Quinn's gone.
Interesting.
So whoever ordered George gone, you know, that is the clear smoking gun on where this coaching staff is going and if Dan Quinn is going to be here or not.
The Joe Philbin not retaining him is also fascinating to me because we discussed this. You know, the offensive line coach, oftentimes that's a direct tie into who your offensive coordinator is.
Could be, yeah.
So if you decide to move on from Kellen Moore, that could be whoever you bring in now will get to decide who their new offensive line coach will be. Otherwise, maybe it's just, hey, we've seen enough from Joe Philbin. But I'm surprised they would make that move now and not have done it a year ago.
Yeah, because didn't he do a good job? I felt like he did a good job this year.
Yeah, you know, there could be some thoughts there that maybe that him and Kellen Moore did not get along all that well.
Mm. Ooh, fist fight in the cafeteria, maybe.
I don't know. Kellen Moore never fist fight anybody.
Neither would Joe Philbin. Have you seen him?
Yeah.
Maybe, Mike. Maybe
sweet, sweet man.
Just what's happened is they're trying to save some money so they can get the Sun coach that Reggie wants that job for.
Maybe
so badly.
Maybe he didn't prep
so he
Zeke
know where
to
the
be
sun
the
is.
Center well enough on the last play.
You guys got coming up on the show, Graham, today.
Pure Gold, as always, Majors. Nice. Thanks for asking. Speaking of Mike McCarthy, that presser is about an hour and 5 minutes away right now.
Nice. Looking forward to it. Yeah. And we'll be back tomorrow. Maybe Kevin will be here, but who knows? We'll see you then. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Bye-bye.
Say get well, Kevin.
Get well, Kevin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.